Anybody meet anyone new this morning?
Yes.
All right, good. Well, it's great to have you this morning. I'm going to just sit over this way. By the way, just opening with a question this morning. Does anybody have a favorite holiday? Come on now, does anybody have a favorite holiday? The rest of you don't care, huh? You're not, I could say I'm going to give you $1 million. You still wouldn't raise your hands in church, would you? How many people have a favorite holiday? Shout it out, one, two, three.
Christmas.
Okay, a lot of Christmas, a lot of Christmas. Mine actually is Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. It's a great time of the year. And it's really not about all the food. As you can tell, I probably ate too much food, all right? Three pieces of pie on Thanksgiving evening. How many people know that's more than enough? More than enough. So anyway, that's not my favorite part of Thanksgiving. I think my favorite part of Thanksgiving is the fact that it kind of kicks off what I consider to be the most wonderful time of the year. How many people think I should write a song? And everybody said, it's the most wonderful time of the year. You guys sound great. Okay. Anyway, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's Thanksgiving. And since it's Thanksgiving weekend, what I want to do this morning is I want to take this opportunity to talk about this national holiday that we observe each and every year. So what I want to do for the next couple minutes, and I know it might seem redundant, but just for about 3 minutes, I just want to talk about the origin of Thanksgiving. You probably heard this as a kid back in school. Hope you heard this back in school. And if you have, just a reminder, it's good to be reminded of some very important things. We're going to talk about the origin of Thanksgiving. But before I do that, what I want to do is I want to share with you my big idea for today. And you say, Mike, what's the big idea? The big idea is what I want you to remember 3 days from now, okay? I know some people, you ask them at a grocery store, how was church today? You see them after church, they said, great. And then you'll ask, what did your pastor talk about? And they get blank, okay? They have no idea. They have no idea. So we're going to help you. We're going to give you the big idea. And we're going to repeat the big idea several times through the message this morning. Because this big idea has the potential. You guys just can't wait for the words, can't you? It has the potential to change your life, okay? And I'm going to give it to you today for free. It has the potential to change your life. And if it's really good, you can give again in the offering after the service, okay? And here it is. And I want everybody to, this is the big idea. A thankful life is a happy life. Can everybody say that together? Because I want you to be able to leave this room this morning with this in mind. So write it down. Everybody, one, two, three. A thankful life is a happy life. So look at your neighbor and say, did you hear what he just said? A thankful life, oh, I'm only kidding, is a thankful life. So let's just talk about the origin of Thanksgiving quickly. You saw this in your history books growing up in school. It was in August of 1621 that the Mayflower, let's look at the Mayflower. You got pictures today. Set sail from Southampton, England. And did you know that it set sail with 102 passengers? And their primary reason for wanting to leave England and come to a new land, to come to America, is so that they could form a community where they could worship God as they saw fit, okay? That's what it was all about. They wanted to go to and form a community where they could worship their God as they saw fit. For back in England, King James, look at the next picture, King James. Just wanted to make sure you're looking. That's not King James, okay? King James, move on, just leave it there, was persecuting people who did not recognize the Church of England as the absolute spiritual and civil authority. So if you didn't say England, the Church of England, was the absolute spiritual and civil authority, you were persecuted. If you were following God and worshiping God as the Bible was showing to worship, you were persecuted. So what they did is they got on the Mayflower and they set sail. And history tells us that it was some very challenging travel. I mean, they just had a horrible time getting across the ocean. And finally, weeks later, they landed at Cape Cod. Whoa, at Cape Cod off the coast of Massachusetts, okay? I'm sorry. That freaked me out more than you guys, okay? Is everybody still with us? Okay. So they land in Cape Cod off of Massachusetts, and they the pilgrims, those first few months were very, very difficult times. Is everybody aware of that? Okay. Did you know this, that more than half of the 102 passengers did not even survive that first England winter, that first New England winter. And you think we have bad winters here. They had bad winters, and over half of the people died. But when spring came, there was this new hope. And they built relationships. We know this very well, that they built relationships with some Native American Indians. And the Indians taught them some very valuable lessons. And what the pilgrims did those first few months of spring is they begin to build homes, and they begin to plant crops, all through the teaching of the Native American Indians, okay? And it was in the fall of 1621, which was the very next year, the pilgrims harvested their very first crop, and that harvest was so plentiful that they dedicated a day of thanksgiving. Actually, their governor, William Bradford, declared that to be a day where we would cease doing all the work, and here's the picture, next picture, and they all gathered together, and the people gave thanks for God's abundance. So it's very clear that these people, these original pilgrims, gave credit to God for everything they had. Can I say that again? These pilgrims realized that, and they realized all these good things came from God, and it was to God they gave credit. And they realized it was His presence, His intervention in their daily lives that made all of this possible. So because of that, now we have Thanksgiving. And people, things that they were thankful for are actually things that many of us today, we take for granted. They were thankful for that first harvest. They were thankful for a place to live. They were thankful for a place to worship God as they saw fit, okay? So over the years, the colonies would keep Thanksgiving. But here's the thing. A lot of us think that that would be the only day each year that they would do this. But if you read history, throughout the year, when something big happened, where there was a great harvest, or they won a battle, or something memorable happened, they didn't wait till the next Thanksgiving or the next November. But history tells us that William Bradford would say, we're going to stop even at the end of this week, and we're all going to come together, and we're going to give thanks to God again. So Thanksgiving wasn't just limited to one day, but Thanksgiving was actually throughout the year many times, because the people stopped and they realized, wow, God, remember when we were in England, how horrible it was. Now look at all the things that we have. And it actually wasn't until 1863, which would be 240 years later, that President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, have you heard of him? Abraham Lincoln declared it a national holiday, okay? So here's what I want you to see this morning. For those original pilgrims and those Native Americans, I want to let you know that Thanksgiving wasn't limited to one day a year. Has everybody got that? Say, move on, okay? It wasn't limited to one day a year. It actually became a lifestyle in the colonies, where they would pause frequently, where they would gather together frequently, where they would kneel down and they would bow to God and say, Father, thank you for all that you have done. So my whole thought this morning is this. You and I should not limit giving thanks to God one day a year. Can I get an amen? We shouldn't limit giving thanks to God one day a year. Actually, if you're here today and you say, yes, I'm following Jesus Christ, I made that decision to follow Jesus, how many people know that Scripture gives us guidelines that we are to be people who continually give thanks to God? Amen? I want to look at a few verses just to concrete what I'm trying to convey to you this morning. Let's look at three Psalms real quick. Psalms 95:2 says, let us come to Him with, everybody say it together, thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him. I love that. Psalms 104 says, enter His gates with, go into His courts with praise, give to Him and praise His name. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His love endures forever. Can everybody repeat that one together? It's short. Give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. How many people know we have a lot to be thankful for? Because God is good. How many people can declare the goodness of God this morning? God is good. You say, how good is God? I'll tell you how good God is. God gave His one and only Son to come to this earth to die as a sacrifice for your sins. Why? So that if you received Him, that you can have peace with your Creator. Is God good or what? Wow, God is good. Maybe we need to read that again. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks. New Testament. Some of you are like, well, that's Old Testament. I don't know if I listen much of that book. Well, New Testament. Let's look at Philippians 4, 6 says, don't worry about anything. Wow. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. So when you're in that time where you're worrying, you're supposed to turn those worries into prayer. And a part of your prayer when you're worrying is to come into God's presence. And part of your worry is to say, God, I thank you. God, I thank you that you're with me. I thank you that you never leave me or forsake me. I thank you that you are for me. I thank you that I'm more than a conqueror. Amen? So in our times of worry, we turn worry into prayer. And in that prayer, we say, God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Okay? One more verse. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give, everybody together, thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what the will of God is for your life? There's a lot of different things, but one thing for certain is to give thanks in all circumstances, not for all circumstances. I'm not going to thank him for the cancer or the things that could happen to me. I'm not giving thanks, but in that, in the midst of that, in the midst of my problems and my difficulties, I want, God is calling me to be what? A person who gives thanks in everything. And here's my point, because I want to promise you today, I do have a point. Aren't you thankful I do have a point? And that is that Thanksgiving should not be limited to one day a year. Very simple. It should be a part of who we are each and every day. And here's why. And here's why, my friends. Not only does what God's word command it, let's look at the big idea one more time. Everybody together, a thankful life is a happy life. Let's sing that. Let's say that one more time with some conviction. Everybody together, one, two, three. A thankful life is a happy life. Are you happy? Are you happy?
Yes.
I think some of you aren't convinced of that. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to share some research with you. And actually, I need to quote my source this morning. My source is Greg Boyd. He did a lot of this research for me, and I want to share it with you this morning. Research about a thankful life is a happy life. We're going to look at two studies. Study number one was done by this guy named Robert Emmons. And what Robert Emmons did is he conducted a 10-week study where he took 411 random people, okay? And he put these 411 random people into three different groups, okay? Group one were asked to do this. They were asked to write down anything they were thankful for throughout the course of 10 weeks. By the way, you might want to try that. Get a notepad, and for 10 weeks, carry that notepad with you, and every time there's something that you're thankful for, write it down, okay? Even if it's Cane's chicken, write it down, okay? Some of you haven't even been there, so don't worry. You're not thankful. I am, okay? So the first group, for 10 weeks, record everything you're thankful for. Group two, listen to group two. This is what they were told to do for 10 weeks. Write down anything that irritated you. If something irritates you or someone irritates you, by the way, how many would have me on your list, all right? I know, I'm not stupid, okay? Anyway, if something irritates you for any time in that 10 weeks, write it down. Group three, they were asked to write down anything that affected them for better or for worse. So those three groups for 10 weeks began to record things, and after 10 weeks, here's what they found out. In group three, they noticed that there was no change in their overall happiness. Nothing really changed. Group two, these were the people who were writing down things that irritated them. We find out that they actually became less happy than they were prior to the study. They were always writing irritating things down, irritating people's names down for 10 weeks, and they found out they were less happy. Good news, group number one, they witnessed incredible benefits. Group one, the thankful group, noticed overall increase, listen to this, personal happiness. These people were more optimistic. These people had less anxiety. They had less stress. Check this out. They were able to sleep much better at night. That alone is worth it. They also experienced an increase of empathy. They were just more empathetic. The quality of their relationships went through the roof. Which, think about it. Doesn't that make sense? Don't people want to hang out with optimistic people? Don't people want to hang out with thankful people? Don't people want to hang out with people that are alive and energetic no anxiety instead of people who are always irritated and grumpy. I'm giving you guys free stuff this morning. And I really do. I'm serious now. I'm helping all of us learn the lesson here. Group one, life increased. The quality of life increased immensely, even in their health. Even in their health. Physical health, emotional health, spiritual health. People who gave thanks were a lot better off. Does everybody get that this morning? I hope you get it this morning. I want you to get this. Study number two, very interesting study. This study, they took 65 adults. And the thing that these 65 adults had in common is they had severe muscular disease. And what he did with those groups is he put those people into two different groups. And over a period of 21 days, the first group was instructed to make observations about their disease, about their health, about their sense of well-being, and they were to record those things for 21 days. Group two was told to record everything they were grateful for. Everything you're grateful for, record it. They found out that during this time, the caregivers were also instructed to monitor them and make observations about their progress. At the end of the study, not only did those who wrote down their thankful thoughts become happier themselves, but their caregivers also noticed a huge bump in their emotional vitality and their energy. Okay? So here's the conclusion of these studies, and I want us to believe it because it's true. And that is, thankfulness is a big, big key to your personal happiness. You believe it? I'm not sure if you believe it or not. Do you believe it? But here's the deal. A lot of people aren't thankful. A lot of people aren't thankful. And as a result, there was a third study. As a direct result, we're told that most Americans, two out of three Americans, define themselves as distinctly unhappy. So two out of three people that you contact every day, you're in their life, you're a part of their daily routine, two out of three of those people aren't happy. Could it be as simple as this? Could it be that those two out of three people need to get on board about one simple issue? How about starting to be thankful? How about it would be as simple as you would begin to be a thankful person? But here's the thing. If you're going to be thankful, you need to be very, very intentional. Are you hearing me this morning? You need to be intentional, okay? Because there's quite a few roadblocks that keep people from being thankful. Write these two. I'm going to share two with you real quick. Two roadblocks that keep Americans from being thankful. Number one is the D word. It's called discontentment. Discontentment will prevent you from being thankful. See, everything in our Western culture pulls us towards being content or discontent. We're people that we live this life where it's all about, I want more. I want more. Instead of being thankful for what we have, we find ourselves with so much, yet we still want more. Okay? And see, that's nothing new. That actually began all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. See, the serpent approached Eve when she was in the garden. And the serpent basically promised Eve what? More. See, God said to Adam and Eve, you can go and you can eat of any of these trees. You can eat from all these different trees, but there's one tree in the center of the garden called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat from that tree. But what the serpent did is it came and the devil tricked Eve into thinking there's more. Meaning that if you'll eat from this tree, you'll be more like God. You'll be smart like God. You'll have that knowledge of good and evil. And as a result, Eve fell into the trap and she ate of the tree. She disobeyed God. And I want to let you know, we have been suffering the consequences from that ever since. Is everybody hearing me this morning? Ever since. Why? Because there's this discontentment for more, 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 more. The serpent's whispering to Eve, whispering to Adam. And I want to let you know the serpent's not done whispering in people's ears. He still whispers to us, don't be content for what you already have. There's more out there for you. And we all know that more will make you what? Happy. Happy. And what we need to do is we need to be able to break through this vicious cycle. Because the voice of culture is saying, hey, go for more. Don't be thankful for all that you have. Don't be thankful for all those things you already have. But the culture saying, go for it. You deserve it. Go for it. More, 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 more. And here's the remedy, guys. The remedy is that we need to learn as Paul says in the book of Philippians, we need to learn the secret of what? Being content. I want to look at a verse for you real quick. You could record it. Philippians 4, 11 through 13. Paul writing says, he says, "For I've learned how to be," everybody say it together, "content with whatever I have." That's Paul speaking. "I've learned to be content with whatever I have." He goes on to say, "I know how to live with almost nothing," and he did. And he said, "I can also live with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or with an empty stomach. I can live with plenty. I can live with little." He said, "I've learned the secret of how to be content." And then he tells us the secret in verse 13, which is a verse we often misquote and misuse. Philippians 4:13, he says, "For I can do," everybody together, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." I can be content when I have everything. Life is good. I just got a check in the mail yesterday. Life is good. But when things aren't looking good, I can still be content because here I've learned the secret. The secret is this: I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And see, this discontentment will keep us from being thankful. Discontentment will keep you from being thankful. This need that you always have to have more. And don't get me wrong, I'm big into people having dreams. I'm big into people having ambitions. I'm into people excelling. I'm into people fulfilling the fullness of what they could have in the right boundaries. I'm all about that. But there comes a time where discontentment, this want for more, never being thankful for what you already have, will kill thanksgiving in your life, thankfulness in your life. And as a result, you won't be happy because more won't make you happy. More will leave you wanting what? More. And what we need to do is we need to learn how to be content. Here's a second thing, a big roadblock that will keep us from being thankful that's really big in today's culture, more so than any other point in time in the history of our country. And that is the word entitlement. Entitlement will keep people from being thankful. Okay, our culture teaches us to live with entitlement. And I want to let you know, nothing will kill thankfulness more than entitlement, that spirit that comes on us, thinking that we are owed something. Can I give you some advice, folks? My dad gave me this advice years ago, and we even talked about it on the phone Friday. This might help you. Nobody owes you anything. Ouch. Nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. So we live with this spirit of entitlement. And what happens is we feel like we should have more. We are entitled to that. This is who I am. I'm entitled. I should have these things. And as a result, we don't give thanks for the things we already have. How many people slept under a roof last night? Raise your hand if you slept under a roof last night. How many people slept in a nice cozy bed last night? Raise your hands. How many people had the heat on last night? Raise your hands. How many people got up this morning and you had something to eat? Rest of you, I'm sorry. You need to get with the program, okay? How many people have good health this morning? Raise your hand and say, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. How many people are able to just get about and do the things you'd like to do? You just have that ability to still go out and do those things. How many people have friends? About two of you have friends. That's awesome. How many people have family? Amen. How many people have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How many people have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? How many people are victorious? Amen. We have all these things. And yet we feel like we're entitled for more. I'm entitled to have more. I should have the house they have. I should drive the cars they drive. I should have the wonderful kids they have. And what we do is we live in this entitlement like we are owed. And we not only do that with one another, guys, we do that with the Creator. We do that with, think about how silly that is. We do that with God. Why couldn't my kids be like their kids? Why couldn't their kids be like, and we play the games. Why can't my wife or why can't my husband be like them? And we feel like, God, you owe this to me. Why am I, I'm always grinding it out, and it seems like other families, it just seems like it comes so easy. Well, get over it. I'm sorry if that hurt your feelings this morning. Really, I'm not. So let's move on. And here's the remedy for entitlement. The remedy is simply don't take anything for granted. Don't take anything for granted. Amen? Look at two verses. Jesus speaking in John chapter 3 says, "No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven." Let's read that together and keep yourself in mind. No one can receive anything except what has been given from heaven. You say, "Well, God didn't give me that job." I'll tell you what, God did give you that job. And not only did God give you the job, he's given you the air to breathe today. And not only did God give you the air to breathe, he gave you the capacity to think, the capacity to grow, the capacity to do things that, man, God is good. He's involved in every, he's given you the capacity to earn a living, to make money, to get resources. God's in all of that. Amen? And God is good, and we need to be people that we need to give thanks. Because here's the thing, folks. We could have 99 great things going on in our life, and there could be one bad thing. What do you think we focus on many times? The one bad thing. But what would it be like if we would begin to just count our blessings and say, Lord, thank you for all that you have done. Here's one more verse. This should be a refrigerator verse, by the way. James 1:17 says, whatever is good. Everybody say that. Whatever is good and perfect comes down from who? From God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. So whatever is good, whatever good is in there that you have in your life, you know what? That goodness is a gift from God. He's given you those things. He's blessed you with family. He's blessed you with friends. He's blessed you with energy. He's blessed you with rightness of mind. God has blessed you with a full stomach, with a roof over your head, cars that drive. God has blessed us immensely. Is everybody on board this morning? Because here's the deal, my friends. Keep this in mind. Thankful people are happy people. And what we do, people are searching all over the world to be happy. They're buying drugs, they're buying pills, they're buying medication, they're drinking beverages, they're trying to seek after happiness every way they can. People are in pursuit of happiness. And I want to let you know that pursuit, why don't we start it by being people who are thankful, thankful for all the things that we have. How many people have something to be thankful for this morning? Say, me. All right, we are thankful. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you three little life-changing tips. This is how we're going to carry this out, because I want you to be happy. I want to be happy. I want Heather to be happy. My kids, I want you to be happy. Three things we need to remember, and actually three things we need to do. Number one, remember. Everybody write that down, remember. How many people know it takes time to break through old habits? They said if you want to develop a new habit, how long does it take? 21 days. It takes 21 days to turn you from a grumpy person to a thankful person. It's going to take 21 days. It's not going to happen today. How do I know? Because I'm like day 7 into my journey, and I'm still finding myself. I've been preparing this message for a while now, and I want to let you know it's going to take time. It's not going to change. Well, I tried today, and it didn't work. Well, give it time. It's going to take you 21 days plus to develop a new way of living. If you want to be thankful, it's going to take time. Remember that. Number two, this is, I think, is big. Don't just think it, say it. Don't just think it, say it. You know what I'm saying here? Don't just think about the things that you're thankful for. You might look a little weird when you're driving the car, or when you're walking around, or when you're in the other room and your spouse is in the other room, or when it, you might look silly, but there's times that you got to start verbalizing it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's times that you got to do a lot of self-talk, and your self-talk needs to be, Lord, first of all, I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful for my spouse. Lord, I'm thankful for health. You need to begin to hear yourself talk. Lord, I'm thankful for that great teacher at school. Lord, I'm thankful for that good boss. I'm thankful for the people I work with. Lord, I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for my immediate family. Lord, I'm thankful that we actually have a car that works. And I want you guys to begin the next 21 days to get out of your little comfort zone and begin to speak forth these things. There's power when you begin to hear what is in your head. It needs to come out of your mouth. Is everybody with me? I'm convinced some of you are like, that's not going to happen. Why not? Why not? Why can't we just begin to be thankful people? How many people would love to hear your spouse give thanks out loud? Wouldn't that be great? Oh, yeah, I see those hands in the back row. Just give thanks. Get verbal. Let other people hear it. If they hear it, just give thanks. You might even want to go up to them face to face and say, you know what, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. And you might go as far as saying, this is why I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful. Mitch, I'm thankful for you, man. All the way from St. Paul to play the guitar this morning. I'm thankful for you, man. So everybody right now, let's take a break. You're not going to get up and leave. If you're sitting with somebody you came with, don't participate unless it's somebody you came with. Right now, I just want you to say something that you're thankful for the other person. Right now, 1, 2, 3, go. Oh, I knew I shouldn't have went to church this morning. I knew it. Okay. I'm thankful. Let's stop right now. Let's take time in this service right now. I want people right now. This is a small church. You can't do these things in big church, but we can do them in smaller churches. Right now, I just want to hear some things that people are thankful for. You could say them right out loud. I'm sorry, your kids? How many people are thankful for their kids? Most of the time. Most of the time. Yeah. What? Yes. Anyone else? Your family. Health. Family. I don't want to be thankful for chocolate. Missy, go ahead. Your job. Raise your hand and I'll point. Let's go five people over here real quick. Come on. You want to be happy? Joanne, be happy. What's that? Ooh, come on now. Travis, God's grace. David. Yes. Everybody get that? All right. Yes. But, oh, amen. Amen. I'm thankful for Ross a lot. Anybody else? Over here, one more person. Say, you've been sober for over 53 years?
No, my wife is
not. Oh. And everybody bow your head. We need to. I'm thankful for your grace, sir. Thank you for being here this morning. And 53 years of marriage. Let's give it up for 53 years of marriage. Amen. I want three people over here, raise your hand, I'll call on you, things that you're thankful for. And I want you to, what we're trying to do here is get people to start talking. You got to speak it out. Jennifer, Faith, anyone else? Come on, people, put on your happy face. Roxy, come on now. That's awesome. Anyone else? Amen. I tell you, that's the biggie, isn't it? We have salvation from sin only through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? And we know that our hope is not in this world, but our hope is in heaven. We know that we have eternal life. We know that we're free from God's wrath. We're thankful for Jesus. Let's do it. I know that we do it at football games. Let's give God a, let's give Jesus a hand this morning. Our last point, and the team can begin to come up at this time. The team can come up. And I'm going to come out there because I don't want you guys to miss this. Remember, it takes time. Don't just think it, say it. Number three, everybody say it together. Watch out for negative talk. Watch out for negative talk. What do I mean by that? How many people are like me every once in a while? You find yourself out loud beginning to whine. You find yourself beginning to complain. You might even find yourself beginning to gossip. Here's my words of pastoral love to you. Is everybody ready? Lean in. Shut up. Shut up. And I say that with love. I'm telling that to I've had to tell myself to shut up this week. Have you ever had to do that? Shut up. When I find myself beginning to grumble and complain about the one thing wrong, when there's 100 or 99 things going right, I often hear myself and I say, are you serious? You're going to focus on that one negative thing. Are you serious? Turn the tables, turn that frown upside down, get happy. How? By giving thanks. So on this Thanksgiving weekend, I'm telling you, you don't have to resort to a bottle, you don't have to resort to a drug, you don't have to resort to some crazy thing outside of God. I'm here to tell you today, a thankful life is a happy life. And I want to encourage you and I to begin to turn our lives around and begin to speak thankful things. Thankful things and see what God will do in your heart. Does anybody receive that this morning? Say amen.